Well, she said there was nothing she could do. Apparently, I don't have enough assets.
Yeah, she said apparently Johnny doesn't have enough assets.
Yeah, and the problem is, how do you get assets without the loan?
But the problem is, how do you get assets without a loan?
Roland, you're not adding anything to the sentence. You're just repeating what I said.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. I want to say something.
Okay.
This GD show
yeah,
is fucking coming at us like a damn freight train, man.
I know.
And we're already three episodes in. And this show is fucking not. It's not disappointing. I mean, I'm sorry.
No one's pulling punches in the final season.
It's great.
Yeah.
I am very happy right now with having watched not only this episode, but the past three episodes. I'm delighted at how things are going thus far.
I like that word.
Yeah. Yeah. How are things going?
It's going good, man.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy week.
It has been a crazy week.
For our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
As has been the case actually for the last several weeks, because they're on this like major press tour and they've been doing a lot of like interviews and shows and things.
Yeah, they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy. I wonder if they're getting any sleep. Are they partying a lot?
I don't know.
I hope so.
But you know Dan's filming a movie.
Yes, I saw that. Oh my God.
It's exciting. Yeah. I'm kind of like, I read a little bit about it. Apparently Kristen Stewart has a girlfriend played by somebody who I don't know. And she's going to be proposing at some like cabin with her family or something. And then she finds out that she's not even out to her family.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, right? And so I don't know anything about like what character Dan's playing, but he's in the mix.
Yeah.
And there was some footage of them like,
I saw that walking down the street.
Yeah.
Yes. You know why this is exciting too? Because when the show is over, we're still going to get our Dan fill.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
It will
to.
Be interesting also to see him do anything other than David.
Right.
Because I feel like he and David are so one, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious to see what he'll bring to the table when it's not David.
I don't think it's going to disappoint at all.
No, I don't think so either.
Dan rarely does.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Son of a bitch.
Son of a biscuit-eating bulldog.
Son of a Eugene.
But
in other Schitt's news.
Yes.
So they were just at the SAG Awards, another sweeping loss for the Schitt's family.
It's not their time, not yet.
It's not their time. It's always going to be O'Hara's era, but not in the eyes of any academies that are voting for things.
Yeah.
Yet.
It's coming.
It has to.
Don't you worry, it's a coming.
But I'll tell you what, though, Catherine looked stunning in her I keep fucking up the name of the award, in her SAG Awards dress.
I don't understand how on this earth it is possible to look that amazing. Everything was flawless. Mm-hmm. Her dress, her hair, her makeup. She didn't even walk across that red carpet. She like glided
in really like, nice shoes.
She was she was like levitating the whole time.
True.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
Oh, she's a goddess. Damn it, Catherine.
The goddess Artemis through the ashes.
No, it's so funny that you just said that. My son is doing a report for school on gods and goddesses, and his goddess was Artemis.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You have to put the quote about how mercurial is life.
that is, he chose Artemis.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love your son so much.
I know, because I just helped him write this report. Before we came here today, we finished it up. So how
That's
funny.
So cute. Oh. I love that. So I want to talk about this because I feel like, as we were talking about earlier, like, they've been doing a lot of press these last few weeks, just, you know, promoting the show and mm-hmm. all the things, especially now that it's gained so much traction and is so popular. Like,
it's amazing they have the such stuff that a they're platform. Doing.
Yeah.
Podcasts, you know, along with the award shows,
all the late
TV
night
shows.
Yeah. I mean, they're truly like all over the place.
Yeah.
But my problem is so much of it is the same shit.
Yep.
And it's not even that it's the same shit, but it's like, a lot of it is like so lame. The questions that they're being asked, it's not even worth the time.
We can answer these questions already as fans because we've heard them asked and answered so many times.
Like, how many times can Dan say that it just felt like the right time for the show to end?
Yes.
Like, how
many times,
a billion times,
can they say that Eugene cringed on the during filming of The Drip because of his hair?
Exactly.
Like, we get it.
It's all, and it's getting to the point where I'm just like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
To have to like sit through that shit, you know, like, or have to say the exact same thing. It's reminding me a little bit of like, I kind of went down this like YouTube rabbit hole of all of the press that Kristen Bell did for Frozen 2. And like, just like you could cut together all the times that Gaga said there could be 100 people in the room and 99 of them hate you. Literally, you could cut together Kristen Bell saying the same exact phrasing of the words, talking about how Frozen 1 was about familial love and loving yourself, and Frozen 2 is a more mature story, and like word for word over and over again. And this is like, I'm getting that same feeling with Dan and Eugene and Catherine and Annie, like, with all the press that they've been doing. However, they did a Q&A sesh for the Build series, which I don't even know like if that's just a YouTube channel or what, but you can find it on YouTube. And then they opened it up to like an audience Q&A thingy. And the last person asked, like, stood up and asked a question. And they were really cute because they started off by saying, I love you and everything that you've done for the show, even saying that they met their current girlfriend. Like, they became friends with their current girlfriend because of the show.
Aww.
And so they're like, so thanks for basically just being responsible for the current state of my life and everything that's great in it. Like, it was really sweet. But then they finally asked a question that, like, I've never heard asked before. And it was really beautiful to see Dan, like, be able to speak so eloquently about it, you mm-hmm. know, and, like, have an answer that wasn't, like, something that he's said a million times either, you know. But they asked, what has it meant to him to write the story, this love story of him and Patrick? Not,
oh, wow.
Not what does it mean for the world and for your fans and for the audience, which is the question that everybody fucking wants to ask him all the time and he's answered a million times. But what has it meant to him specifically?
Oh, wow.
So I want to play a little bit of that answer.
Okay.
Even in terms of relationships, getting to write a successful relationship, getting to write a character for this, getting to write the character of Patrick, which I always saw as like something that I in my own life deserve, which is someone who is completely accepting of who you are. All of those things you tell yourself when you're going through a really bad relationship with someone. It's like, they only like me for this. It's always up and down. I'm not feeling my whole self in this relationship. In a way, it's like, it's gifted me this clarity of knowing that I deserve that. And that everyone deserves that, and hopefully has sort of paved a way for people to put themselves first and say, okay, this might be fiction, but I see something in this. I see the ability to be free, and I see the ability to be what an authentic representation of yourself when in the face of someone else can result in, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
I learned a lot from David. He made me a stronger person. And probably a slightly more judgmental person.
Oh!
The first time I watched that, it, like, reduced me to tears.
Oh.
Because I don't think I really ever watched this show with a sense of, like, relating to the characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's things that happen in moments and things where I'm like, oh my God, that's so me, or like, I've been in that situation. But I don't think it ever occurred to me to see myself or find myself in the David Patrick relationship.
Huh. Interesting.
And hearing him talk about that and say it that way, it felt like gave me the window, or like opened the window to allow me to like have that like aha moment of like, oh yeah, right. I can and should and want to see myself, or maybe look at this relationship as some sort of a gold standard or, right, you know, example for myself. And it was just really cool.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I really wanted to shout that out, because I feel like for the first time in all of the press that I've seen, it was like a real moment. And him saying that he learned a lot from David,
I liked that part,
is like a gold gem, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really cool.
I mean, it made it all worth it probably for him. I mean,
yeah,
to create and to write and to be, you know, responsible for this person. And then you take that with you even after the show ends and everything. He's always going to take David with mm-hmm. him. That's what's cool. Along with so many other people who are also going to take David with them.
Right.
Yeah. That's very right. cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So thank you, Build Series, for allowing the opportunity and the space for somebody to ask a question that yeah. was kind of worthwhile.
Difference good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you say? Shall we get
Let's
into it?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it. This is episode 603, titled The Job Interview. And the pop synopsis is, Johnny and Moira endeavor to secure a new motel, while Alexis and Ted struggle with long distance.
Hey.
Hmm.
No mention of Stevie and David.
Yeah. I guess it's clear okay. what the C story is in this episode.
I guess.
It does feel weird because it doesn't feel like there's a traditional C story in this no. episode. Because it does feel like everything sort of got equal weight.
It certainly felt that way during we were watching it.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into it, though,
should we get into our first segment? Oh, word. Come on, baby, tell me what's
the word. So why don't you start us off?
Alrighty. Well, I don't think that this word needs a definition, because it just is. My word is sexy.
Ooh.
And let me tell you why my word is sexy. You know, besides the fact that we have some cyber sex going on,
oof,
while this particular episode just opens up, we also get some sexiness coming from almost every single person. We have David. Wearing his man's clothes. Oh, fucking sexy. We, again, have Alexis and Ted, but this time I'm going to give it to Ted, because any man that really gives a shit about his woman, his other man, I mean, whatever, as long as you give a shit about your partner and you're trying to make it work thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, that's sexy. I'm going to give it to Moira. She is sexy in this because she cares a lot about what is going on with Johnny. Oh, that's sexy. I'm going to give it to Roland, because Roland mans the fuck up here and like makes shit happen. That's sexy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of sexiness happening.
I'm going to need a soundbite of you just saying, oh, that's sexy.
So I think that my word for this episode is sexy.
Sexy.
So yeah, that is my word.
Nice.
Nice.
Mine is opportunity.
Ah.
Which I do feel is warranted to read the definition.
Sure.
Almost like not even really, except that there's two definitions for it, and weirdly, they're both on the nose perfect for this episode. So the first definition is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something, which I feel like is totally in line with the stuff that's going on with Johnny and Roland and Moira and Jocelyn in the hotel, and, you know, just looking for different opportunities to try to make something happen here. Yeah. And also with Ted and Alexis, because Alexis is looking for opportunities and ways in which she can sort of bridge the gap between her and Ted. And then Ted takes the opportunity to like make a grand gesture and like do something nice for them, for their relationship.
Yes.
But the second definition of this word is a chance for employment or promotion.
Oh, God.
And I mean, that's hello, Stevie and David.
Perfect.
So it kind of is like, I feel like that's the word. Opportunity. Everyone's
I like that.
Got opportunities. Everyone's seizing opportunities.
So. I really like that.
Thanks.
I like your word.
Thanks.
So let's talk about some of the words that our listeners
sent. Oh my God, yes. I love it.
Yes. Our first word comes from Michelle.
Yes. Our good friend Michelle.
Yes. And her word is possibility.
Mm. Yes. I feel like that's kind of in line with opportunity.
I think so as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word. Yeah. Solid word.
Yes.
One listener sent to us, their word is bitchin'.
Yes.
Fucking bitchin'.
Yes.
All I think of is Bob. Bob bitchin',
oh my God.
Bitchin' Bob.
Hell yeah.
Fucking bitchin'.
Hell yeah.
That's a good word too. Another word we got was complimentary.
Oh God, of course.
Which I will never ever be on another flight and see complimentary anything the same way again.
Uh-uh. I only think of Carol.
The only thing I'm gonna have going through my head, and I'm even gonna say one day on a flight, and I'm actually taking a flight here real soon, is when I ask for peanuts, I'll be like, I'm taking the peanuts, Carol. I'm going to say to my flight attendant, I don't give a shit what their name is.
When they come around to like pass them out, are you going to be like, is complimentary in your corporate vocabulary?
Could you imagine be like, what? Who the fuck is this chick? What does she care?
They're going to be like, oh, we overserved you.
Like, ooh, no, ooh. No more booze for seat A9 or however they do seats.
Ooh, look
flights.
At you, A9.
I don't know.
Damn, girl. Okay. I see you.
First class because I belong there. So yeah, those are some good words.
I love it.
That we got.
Send us more, man. We want to hear from you guys.
We always want to hear your words for each and every episode.
Yeah, it's really fun. It is. I'm kind of loving this segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this episode, man, it feels like we're back to form here.
Yes.
This feels like a typical episode of Schitt's Creek that we've come to know and love.
It really does. This episode felt like a warm, fuzzy blanket all over again. With the show. That's why when we opened this podcast, I said, you know, this
coming
comedy,
at us.
All the feels, everything is coming at us hard. And I am loving it.
We hear the familiar, like, of like a Skype call. Feel free to pay us for that Skype, for that amazing impression we just did.
You're welcome.
And she's Skyping with Ted. And it's really cute because, like, the minute the connection comes through, he's like, I can see you.
And she's dressed up.
Well, she looks amazing. She looks amazed.
Yes.
Although, I don't know. It does feel like she got ready to do this.
I totally.
So was that the agreement? That. Like, was that like, oh, we're going to have a Skype call today at 4 o'clock and fuck online? Or like, or was she just hoping that would happen?
I don't think so. I think she just wanted to look sexy for
Ted. Okay.
Because it's been a while since they've seen each other.
Okay.
And she's certainly not going to show up in like sweatpants, sweatshirt, disheveled, you know.
Would she ever even wear that?
No. But also, not like in normal clothes. I see her wanting to like still.
Yeah, like spruce it up a
feel
bit.
Feel good about herself and their relationship. And she wants her man to want her and to miss her.
Well, not to mention that they have not talked in, what is it, a week or more?
I think a little bit more than
that. Because he's been on some sort of nature hike or something where they didn't have internet access. Because presumably it's been a few weeks since he left.
Yes.
And they've been, you know, keeping in touch as often as they can, except for this long stretch where he was away with no access.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like missing each other and it's their anniversary.
Yeah, that's right. And he's filling her in on the things that have been going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
They found a fly that mates with itself.
Yum.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it. The whole reason for this call is because it's their anniversary.
Right.
So,
and they're reconnecting and it's a whole thing. Yeah. And I think to your point, she's also just like capitalizing on the fact that she's
absolutely.
Home alone.
I would.
So why not? You know?
Yeah, I would. Well, she thinks she is until she isn't.
Until she isn't because David comes bursting in like a storm.
Is he dressed?
Yes.
Oh,
Wow.
And then the pure joy on his face when Johnny then walks in just to let them know that he's taking the car for the afternoon, which is such a nod to the fans with the whole car business.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of my favorite cold opens where they're fighting over who signed out the car last, and it's the best. But he comes in to say about the car, and David's joy at telling his dad that Alexis is about to engage in cyber sex.
Oh, my God. Things you don't tell your parents. Well, I guess this isn't any, it's not your average.
Yeah, that's true.
Familial situation. So, yeah, and Moira overhears this.
Oh, my God.
Alexis, what have I told you about putting your body on the internet? Never, never without proper lighting.
Can everyone get out, please? I haven't seen my boyfriend in like 8 days.
And I haven't seen my furry fendies for weeks.
Hi, Mrs. Rose.
No, we're not engaging with them. Everybody out so I can finish off with Ted.
Sick.
Ugh, goodbye, please.
Found them.
Oh, my God. Also, I love that she's looking for the skunk shoes.
Yes, I know. The furry Fendis. Yes.
Moira is looking for the skunk shoes.
Fucking skunk shoes.
But, oh, my God.
This is a nightmare.
These are the types of cold opens that I love.
Yeah.
Where everything is just like a clusterfuck of events. Mm-hmm.
Classic.
It's a disaster, and it's funny. It's just really funny.
This is right up there for me with the episode where Roland is playing the music in the middle of the night. And they're all yelling at each other to turn the music down. And then Moira can't handle it. Like that level of escalation where it's just like more and more people entering the room and they can't like just figure it out. And it's like driving everybody crazy. It's great.
It really is. Yeah. Everybody adds something to this scene.
Yeah.
And then there's David with just like this permagrin the entire time.
He's loving
absolutely.
This. Sick.
Sick. Well, she doesn't use the right words exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So I can finish off with Ted. What?
Ooh, bad choice of words there.
Yeah, but no, solid cold open. Love it.
So this is where we learn that Ted has been, you know, working with 100-pound tortoises, and he makes a hilarious tur-tell-you joke pun, classic Ted. So Alexis goes out and gets herself a little turtle named Ted.
She names it Ted.
I think that's so cute.
I do, too. I also think it's very funny that Alexis has no idea what it takes.
Dude, where did she even get it?
I don't know.
Like, where did she have
Ted's
to go?
Vet friends? Oh, who would know where to go?
I don't know.
She knows nothing about taking care of a turtle, any animal in this world.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then
but she's going to do it.
I mean, I feel like she's ready. You know what I mean? Like, this is a person who doesn't like animals, remember?
Right.
Like, she doesn't do animals. She doesn't spend a lot of time around animals. Like,
regardless of if she's ready or not, she's doing it. When Moira comes into the room after she's, you know, sees this turtle, tortoise, testudine, whatever.
By the way, testudine is a turtle.
No, yeah, it's all things.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I had to Google it to look up what a testudine was. And I was like, of course it's also, of course that means turtle. Like, it's great.
I like that Alexis says, in her frustration, I'm trying.
Yeah,
and she really is.
It's true. She's like, all the blogs say to create shared experiences to make long-lasting relationships work. And in her mind, this is a shared experience. He's working with turtles, so I'm going to have a turtle, and then we can talk about turtle things together,
She's been trying, and, you know, that's a lot. This is a lot for Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't normal for her. This isn't anything that she's used to.
I mean, we said this at the end of last season. Him being gone is a real test for their relationship. Yeah. Not seeing each other every day or talking to each other every day and being apart like this is just part of that.
I don't know. I almost get frustrated for her sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when everybody tries to get all up in her business and everything and they say the wrong things. And she even tells Moira, you know, is this supposed to help me? Because God damn it. Like, I am doing my best here.
Oh, you mean Moira talking about her award-worthy trilogy of decades with Johnny?
Oh, my gosh. Also, Moira in this, the way she talks about Johnny mm-hmm. and the way she talks about their relationship, when she says she's going to have to feign
surprise. When he tells me that he's secured a loan to initiate our imminent connecting departure from this lengthy layover. What? Like, so many words.
Yes.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. She has such confidence mm-hmm. that her man is going to nail this.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny is going to come home with everything and, you know, they're going to make their greatest
This is
going to
be the beginning of the end, yeah. The beginning of the beginning for
yeah.
them.
But yeah, the way she talks about Johnny in this. Oh,
I know.
It's sexy, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's not sexy is the fact that Alexis is just so frustrated and she's so over it. And she really is. She got a damn turtle. She's trying to feed it with the pellets. She's like, I got to feed it, and then I got to put down for a nap. What? The way she smells these pellets Moira walks out of the room.
Why?
Like,
Why would she smell the pellets?
Why not? I don't know. Like, I don't know if she's going, like, she's trying not to vomit. Or she's
No, she's definitely
like, she's trying
to
convince herself,
vomit.
Like, food. Turtle food. Like, great. I don't know what she's doing, and it just makes it that much funnier.
Well, I think the whole point of all of that is she's trying very, very hard to make the best of a situation that is less than ideal.
Right.
And it kind of is not really working, mainly because she has no business getting herself a damn turtle. You know what I mean? Like, she shouldn't have done that. And it's no wonder that it's all like falling apart around her.
Yeah.
But I think she then also takes that as some sort of omen against her relationship with Ted, as if her inability to care for or keep track of a turtle is a bad sign about her relationship with Ted, which sucks for her that she feels like that because it's simply not true.
She's very hard on herself.
Yeah.
And she's not usually hard on herself.
True.
She's very confident.
True.
And she knows she's got it, and she knows she could do just about anything she really wants to do. But not this time. Why I feel so, like, for her. I'm frustrated.
Frustrated because it's like you want more for her or better for her? Or
no,
frustrated
because I don't want her to feel so disappointed in herself. Mm-hmm. Or, like, she needs to carry all this weight.
Mm.
Because she really doesn't.
Well,
yes, she wants to make it work, but, you know, I mean, it's 50-50. It goes both ways. And while, Ted is trying, he's still so far away. You can only do so much.
But I also think that goes for her, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even so much that, like, she's taking on all this weight and it's 50-50 and that's how it should be. It's that there is that she's already doing the best she can. And so is he. You know what I mean? The best that they can do is talk to each other on the internet as often as they can for as long as they can and know that in a matter of a few weeks or however long she'll join him and it'll be okay. And it doesn't have to feel like it's all failing just because they've been apart and haven't seen each other in 8 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that bums me out is that she can't or she doesn't seem to be just taking this in stride knowing that it's temporary.
Yeah.
It all feels very like the world is ending, you know, like which is odd kind of. And which is why – which is essentially also what Twyla tells her, like the advice that Twyla gives her, which helps sort of bring her down off the ledge a bit, you know, is like – you guys are just going through a tough time right now, but I bet you'll find out that this time apart will only bring you closer and make your relationship stronger.
Which is true.
Right.
I mean, great advice from Twyla.
Yeah.
The only person so far that has been giving her really any, you know, sound, any worthwhile advice,
right.
I think. I don't know. I just, it's kind of shitty because you know that she wants to make this work. And it's all great and it's all – and life is going on around her. And for myself, when I see this, there's just that – I don't know. There's just that little thing that's like, she's not going to go out there.
Well, like, yeah, that's obvious.
She's not going to go out there. So I don't know. For me, it also makes it that much harder to see her going through this because – so if that's the case, this is just going to get harder for her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
If it's already this hard now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to get any easier as time goes by. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's still only 6 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, in the scheme of, like, if this is going to be her forever relationship, which is what she wants, it's 6 months. You know what I mean? It's 6 months at the beginning of your relationship. Like, you guys are going to get through this and then some, you know? Mm-hmm. And that kind of perspective, I think, is hard when you're in the weeds, you know, which
sure.
is why you ask for advice from people, and people that love you give you good advice and stuff, you know.
I feel that way about all this now. Mm-hmm. And then you fast forward to, you know, mm-hmm. their Skype date
yeah.
at the end.
Right.
And things totally shift for me watching this, seeing them talk. And seeing just how much, the way she looks at him and the way he looks at her and the way she tells him, like, I just, it feels so good to see your face again. Like, then I backtrack a little bit and I change my mind and I'm like, well, they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, these two are going to make this work because they genuinely love each other.
Yeah.
That's not a question.
Yeah, I think I've come full circle on the whole, like, my theories at the end of last season about how this is not going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I'm on the other end of that now, where I think the breadcrumbs that they've laid down so far are that, no, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And they're just going to have some trials and tribulations along the way, you know, mm-hmm. until they're reunited.
But I think the Skype date at the end was very important.
Oh, it was beautiful. I was crying.
Yeah.
It really brought yeah. me to tears by the end of it.
Twyla was involved. I love that he sent a limo for her. And the whole fact that she looked at this guy in the eye, she goes, you didn't wink. Or you didn't blink.
I trust you.
Trust you.
She's been enough around abduction situations oh, to know all the tells.
It's the best.
Also, she looks amazing for putting that together in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something tells me he was waiting a lot longer than 5 minutes in that limo.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Also, do you think that Twyla knew
when she first went in there
that this was going to happen tonight?
Probably.
Right?
I feel like that's not something you could throw together in a matter of minutes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it had to be planned.
He was going to know when to
Skype in or whatever. She obviously needed to use her laptop.
Right.
To make that happen.
And she had to, and he had to have, like, arranged a limo and everything. And it's specifically for their anniversary.
Right.
So I feel like it was planned. And I feel like
so.
That's also where Twyla's advice was coming from earlier, yeah. where she's like, mm-hmm. like, I'm sure that in time you guys will see that this is just going to make you stronger and stuff. Like, because, like, she knows what's up, you know?
I think so. I think that this was planned in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
It is. Which doesn't surprise me with Ted.
I know.
As much as he can, you know, say the wrong things sometimes, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And we've learned this now. I mean,
yeah.
He knows Alexis and what it takes to make her happy.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a good job.
My little Galapagai.
My little Galapagai. And how they booped each other.
Oh, the booping is so cute.
Why?
I love the booping.
Oh, my God. They were booping each other over Skype.
And how he couldn't stop talking about her, so they named the fly after her.
I know, I got a little something buzzing around.
I got my own little Alexis buzzing around.
Oh, God.
Which means he's, what, keeping it as a pet?
That's weird.
He's so weird.
I don't know.
He's such a weirdo.
She loves it, though.
She does. They're cute. I really think that they're going to make it. I think that's the end.
You know, I hope so.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I also, because I can't even imagine, like, first of all, I don't think there's anyone better for her than him at this point. And if they end up not together, then I would just as soon as see her with nobody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they're going to get through this.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You know, that saying opposites attract. I feel like in this case, that's very much what's happening here. They're two completely different people
mm-hmm.
and they're just in love and they make it work.
Yeah.
They love each other's differences and their weirdness and all that stuff mm-hmm. about them. So,
yeah,
it works for them.
You know, as much as Patrick accepts David
yeah.
for all that he is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what's happening here too with these sure. two, you know.
Absolutely.
Ted accepts Alexis for all that she is.
All of her extraness.
Mm-hmm. And her, you know, her selfishness and her moments of, you know, whatever, when she's not the best person in the world, you know.
Sure.
He takes those things in stride because he loves her and he knows her heart. And
he's also not so perfect. So Alexis accepts and loves the things about him. Like,
right.
The nerdiness.
Like,
and
when
all
he can't
that.
Just let shit go.
Yes. and all of his, he just says the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hope those two make it.
I hope so.
All right. So let's talk about David and Stevie, because David and Stevie storyline feels like classic season one.
Yeah.
David and Stevie shit, man.
The best friends are back at it again.
Ugh. It makes me so happy.
You know, Emily, this season so far, is coming through with the comedy, like the being extra funny. Mm-hmm. I feel like mm-hmm. she has a lot more to say.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I really do. I know that in the past, you know, the past couple episodes, we've talked about like not really stoked on certain things that she says or does or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, like, she's doing a lot more.
Yeah.
She's giving a lot more.
You know, while I've had some time to like reflect on that stuff, I do think that my issues were with Stevie
mm-hmm.
and not so much Emily. You know what I mean? Like, I can't ever really fault the actor for the words that are being written that she's performing, you know?
Yeah.
But to your point, like, you're right. Emily is bringing a lot more this season, I think, than she probably ever has. Which is also like reflective in like the fact that Stevie's doing a lot and like feeling a lot and dealing with a lot, you know, so far in just three episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's all good.
It's so funny because in other shows, you see the characters grow and like mature and all this stuff. But like, I take a step back with Stevie and Emily and my God, like, she really has matured mm-hmm. here. And she, everything about her looks, she just looks glowy. It's so weird. I guess it's the best way that I can put it. She just looks like she's glowing.
Aww.
And I don't know if that's Emily or if that's Stevie.
Interesting.
But I want to say it's Emily.
Okay.
She just looks different, like, in an amazing way.
There were a couple of moments where I was sort of like stricken by her. Like, just looking at her, I was like,
the way she's carrying herself now too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot more confidence there.
The confidence, for sure. She's less slouchy. Mm-hmm. She's less.
Exactly.
Like, she's walking through life like she owns it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or she owns her own life anyway.
And I want to believe that it's because of Cabaret and what she went through.
Oh, absolutely.
All that built up her confidence.
Yeah.
But it's Emily portraying that.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Bringing that layer
and
nuance.
She's just doing an amazing job with that.
I will say, Dan did some cool things in this too that I really liked. I mean, he always does cool things, but there's a couple of moments where I'm looking at David's face and there's like real emotions there, which is not even like, I'm not trying to say like he never has real emotions, but like, you know, Dan the actor often relies, I think, on like the way that he reacts to things and like the way his face contorts mm-hmm. to what he's saying or how he's reacting to what someone else has said. Like, his facial contortions are as much a part of the character of David as anything else. But there was a couple of moments in the storyline where I was just looking at his face and it was just like this real, sincere, like, nothing extra about it, just a smile or a nod or whatever, where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's cute. You know, like, I was like appreciating it. But anyway, so Stevie is like losing her mind. She's pulled her entire closet onto mm-hmm. her bed and she's like picking things up and putting them down and like muttering to herself. And then David comes in and she's like, I asked you, I just told you it was an emergency. I asked you to be here. And he's like, yeah. And I got my burrito to go. So what's up?
She needs his help.
I need you to help me put together an outfit. Okay, I have a job interview this afternoon and I need to look professional.
So does that mean you're officially leaving the motel?
No, just, I don't know. I'm just, you know, trying to see what's out there. Mm. And Larry Ayer is hosting a open call for employment opportunities.
Okay, Larry Ayer sounds like a dollar store perfume.
It's an airline. Larry is the name of the CEO. He used to own a chain of delis, but then he sold them to buy a bunch of planes. Mm. I get to travel, see the world.
Mm-hmm.
One, he's not wrong. It does sound like a dollar store.
It literally does.
Larry Ayer.
Yeah.
And also, I've never heard of like a job interview or anything like that called an open call.
Yeah. It's like a cattle call.
Right.
For just a bunch of people that might want to work.
Or like a casting call.
But you know what
like...
it did remind me of? Did you ever watch that Gwyneth Paltrow movie where she becomes a flight attendant?
No, I know what you're talking about. No.
I wonder if that's an airline thing, because in that movie, it's depicted like that too. Like there's
really?
Like an open call and all these girls go. And in that movie, it's more like you have to fit a certain physical description and whatever, which is probably very true for the real airlines anyway. But like this whole thing kind of just kept bringing me flashbacks of like that movie.
Really?
Which I only vaguely remember anyway, because I watched it once like 35 years ago. But like... it just like these little tidbits and moments where I was like, oh yeah, she had to like put on the clothes, and if they didn't fit, like she was disqualified and all these things.
You know, if there are any flight attendants out there, I'm genuinely interested in what the process is like of like becoming a flight attendant or getting chosen, you know, with particular airlines.
Yeah, like how do you get that job?
Right. I'm actually very interested in finding that out.
I also feel like, of course, Stevie's going to be a flight attendant. It feels like a perfect fit for her.
So she could see the world.
Yes. Yeah. It kind of makes a lot of sense. You know?
Yeah.
It's a chance for her to get out of the town, to do something with herself, make some decent money, see the world.
Yeah.
Like, meet people, have experiences. Like, it's kind of perfect.
It is very perfect. I love, though, that David immediately has to be like, sounds like something I could do. Wow, David.
I was told that I would be amazing flight attendant. By who? Sandy.
But the fact that he talks about deboning a Branzino during turbulence.
And so proudly. She let me debone a Branzino during turbulence. Like, he's so proud of it.
That's a lot.
On our private plane.
On. Basically, Stevie wants him to put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
She's like, well, then come on.
Which wouldn't be the first time she's done that either.
No.
Made him, like, you know, do it then, you know?
They truly are a modern-day Lucy and Ethel.
Oh.
Like, the thing that these two get themselves into.
It's true.
It's great.
Oh my god, it's true.
I mean, I love it. And she's like, well, then let's go. You're gonna come with me, and we're gonna do this. And he's like, well, if this is what we're working with, this wardrobe of yours,
you might as well give me the contract right now.
Yeah.
All the while flawlessly putting together an outfit for her.
You know what this reminded me of, especially when he's like, I'm gonna need a boot. Miranda from Devil Wears Prada, when he's like putting everything together, and he's like looking at this, and then he walks away, I'm gonna need a boot. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I loved that.
So they go. They show up. She in the outfit that he picked out for her.
First time I've ever seen Stevie tuck in her flannel.
Yes. And I gotta say, it's working for her.
Yeah. She looks great.
She looks great. And David,
so does he.
Now, is this look comfortable for you or uncomfortable?
You dress for the job you want.
So you want to be a youth pastor?
Hi. Wow. Well, that joke was surprisingly sharp. These are Patrick's clothes. So you might want to tell that to my fiance's face.
A youth pastor.
It's so perfect. Youth pastor. It is so youth pastor. Mm-hmm. Somehow on Patrick, it doesn't look like youth pastor, but on David, it's totally fucking youth pastor.
A lot of pastors mentioned in this episode, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, I mean, he's wearing Patrick's clothes.
Of course he is. First of all, I didn't know Patrick's pants would fit him.
I didn't either.
He's like a full foot taller than Patrick.
Were they high waters? Because I don't think we see the bottom.
I never see his feet.
But that shirt, fucking stop. But please. Yeah, so they wore for the job. They dressed up for the job
dressed
they want.
The job you want. Yep.
And they showed up and they're going to do the damn thing at Larry Air.
I hate Carol. I just want to go on record and say the minute she comes on the scene and is like, hello, welcome to Larry Air, I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. I hate you.
But I feel like they needed that
from
a character.
I'm supposed to hate
kind
Carol.
Of like, well, yeah, but also David needed somebody that he was going to be like on his level.
Yes.
To kind
that
of,
he could think was on his, like, yes. He was playing on the right level.
Yes.
But then
also
get
to, like, one-up him and just mm-hmm. be like, she's a lot sharper than I am.
Right.
She doesn't give a shit just like me. And she's got a lot more to say than I do right now. Yep. So, out. He's met his match, you know?
Everything about this whole, whatever that you want to call, open call process.
I don't know what this is.
Is pretty wonderful. Every beat of it gets better and better. The only part that I take issue with, and this is just a regular TV thing that I need to get over, when Carol is like, okay, why don't we go around the room and like introduce ourselves and say our one weakness? And like, Stevie's doing her thing and David keeps talking and interrupting, and I'm like, you wouldn't do this in normal life. Like, could you shut up while she's talking?
But it's David wouldn't do anything like this in normal life.
But I do think that from a character perspective, it does speak to the fact that I don't think David throughout this whole thing, like starting from she calls him to tell him, like, I need your help with this audition process or whatever.
Right.
To all the way to this moment when they're in that room. I don't think that David is taking Stevie seriously when she says she wants to do this. I think there's a part of him that feels like this is all a joke and we're playing.
Interesting. So you think in his mind, this is just like a flash in the pan for her.
Yes.
Something that like, yes. She's going to try this out. And
like, they'll do this. She won't get it. And we'll move on to the next thing.
She's also not helping in this situation either. Because
I know.
She's not like sure
putting
about
her best
anything.
Foot forward with it.
Yeah. But what David even asked her, so that, does this mean you're stepping away from the hotel and, yeah. or the motel? And she's like, yes. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
So she's
but
not.
But of course she's going to say that because she doesn't know if she has the job yet. So she's not going to be like, absolutely, I'm done with this place and then knock at the job and have to come have her foot in her
and
mouth.
And I genuinely also think she just doesn't know.
Like, I mean, yeah.
She doesn't know what's going on right now, and which is her right. I mean, this is her trying to find herself and trying to find, you know,
yeah.
her
I mean,
path.
She doesn't know because she doesn't have the job yet. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like she wants it, and if she gets it, she'll do it. But she doesn't know because she doesn't know yet, you know?
I think that before the final scene happened, before we saw that, I didn't even think that she was sure. I didn't even think that even if she had was offered the job, she would have taken it.
Okay, interesting.
I thought that maybe this is one
That's
of those things
fair.
Where, like, if I have enough options, then, you know, I can choose something or maybe something will lead me in the direction that I want to go. I don't know, but I didn't even take it serious. I just thought, you know, I think I was on the same level as David where it's just like, so what's happening? What are we doing?
Well, and I think because of the way that Stevie sort of like goaded him into like, okay, well then come with me and let's see who gets the job then, right? I think because of that kind of classic Stevie and David hijinks mode or attitude that she approached it with, I think he went into this whole thing with a little bit of an undercurrent of like, I'm not going to take this that seriously.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to try to like outdo Stevie, but it's not like I'm actually going to try to get this job. So he's a little bit undercutting her genuine trying to get through this process and get the offer at the end, you know?
Yeah.
And which is why when he does, well, okay, I don't want to like spoil it, but who cares? But it's like, but like when he is finally out of the room, then she gets it. You know? She doesn't have to like worry about her banter with him. She can just do what she came to do, which is get the job.
And for as much as David is like, as she's speaking his like true, when she's talking about, you know, what her weaknesses are, disorganized, true. I mean, you know, he's kind of like little
it's fucking like
Chatty Cathy. Yes, exactly.
or an Alexis, if you will.
There you go, little Alexis. Yeah, I do think that as soon as he left the room, she was able to be herself,
put her
have
best
to worry
foot
about
forward.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. Do I think that she immediately regretted inviting him? Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the training modules
my
that they have to go through.
Wait, let's talk about David's weaknesses first.
Oh, no, yeah, that was the first one I was going to talk about.
Oh, my God.
A Stevie Bud, and I'd say my biggest weakness is that I'm disorganized.
Oh, that's true.
And I'm indecisive.
Yes.
I also...
Okay, we just needed one. Next.
Hi, David Rose. Would we consider loyalty a weakness? If not, I'm also really honest.
I'm just going to put down chatty.
I was like waiting to see what Stevie would say because, you know, when people ask you your biggest weakness in an interview, like you do that thing of like, oh, God, like, I think I care too much. You know,
honesty actually is one of the things I've used
absolutely.
In an interview. I think I might be too
absolutely.
So
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that like comedy thing of like, ooh, you know. And then Stevie just goes a full honest, like literally honest about
disorganized.
It.
Disorganized.
Like Stevie.
Oh my God. And then she gives too much and she's like, we just wanted one. I love David in this because it's, you're not going to be in a job interview and be like, I'm too loyal.
I know. He is. The whole, everything he does in this audition process is
like
extra.
That you've called it an audition.
That's what I've decided what to call like, it. It feels like when I went to audition for Wheel of Fortune and there was like several rounds and they would like weed people out.
You auditioned for Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, who hasn't?
Me.
So yeah, so after weaknesses, then they're doing like a role play of how to deal with customer complaints, I guess, on a flight.
Excuse me. This baby behind me has been crying for over an hour now, and I just can't take it anymore.
You and me both. I have shushed them thrice at this point. Now, here are your options. I could either move those two to the back of the plane, or I could offer you some complimentary alcohol to make your flight a little more bearable.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Carol.
That was a great example.
Thank you.
Of what not to do. David just reminded us of two touchstone policies here at Larry Air. No seat changes. And complimentary is not in our corporate vocabulary. But finger snaps for David.
We don't. Sure.
Even as she's talking about the baby, like his face, he's like rolling his eyes like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that baby.
Me too. So over the top.
It really is. Would he make an amazing flight attendant? Probably.
I feel like he'd be one of those SNL skit versions of the flight attendants that are like terrible at their jobs, you know, like that are just like talking shit the whole time.
Especially
in the back.
When you're like, oh, I know that baby, you want some free booze. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a shot too.
Yeah, I'll join you.
Yeah.
Apparently, David just keeps messing up at every turn.
Complimentary is not in their corporate vocabulary.
Ooh.
Eesh. Ouch.
Even Spirit gives you free peanuts, okay? Just saying.
And Spirit's terrible.
I'm getting major Spirit vibes from Larry Air.
Oh, wow.
Spirit fucking sucks. I hope they're listening to me. Come at me. Come at me, Spirit. I'll take you fucking
you
on.
You fucking suck.
I will take you on.
You were like looking for a fight right now. So
put him up. Put him up.
Yo, come on.
Let's go.
Fuck. So basically, David does not make it past into the final round.
No.
He tries to get out of it. He tries
He's
to
like,
sneak his way
so
in.
Embarrassing. I thought you said David Rose.
I did. And then he's all, some of us drove some of the other applicants here, so I think it'll just be easier for all of us if we all went through.
Oh my God.
David.
The faces, though, like David being defeated the way he's been, the faces he makes where he's just like,
he is not used to being told no.
No.
In such a forceful way.
And then he's going to take those fucking peanuts. Yeah. It's the last thing he does.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I said
I'm taking the peanuts,
them.
Carol.
Yeah.
So good.
So cut to the two of them are debriefing at Stevie's apartment after everything is said and done. David is still in his youth pastor clothes. Stevie's also wearing the same clothes, but she's now untucked her flannel, which is like classic Stevie. And so they're just like debriefing and like talking about, you know, how that went. And David maybe delivers like some of the best that he's ever.
I will agree with you on that.
That he's ever.
So are you just never going to talk to me ever again?
I asked you to roll up the window in the car. The highway smelled like manure.
Okay, it just seems like you're upset.
Not upset. Just didn't feel like talking in the car.
Okay.
Did Carol embarrass herself by sending me away in front of everybody? Absolutely. Was the entire group shocked by that decision? Seemed like it, based on some people's faces. Now ask me if I care.
Do you
don't care? I don't care.
I just placed it. I just what
is
placed
it? Who is it?
John Early.
From?
He was in that Search Party show. But he's also just like a comedian. Oh, he did the comedians bit on or characters on Netflix where he does like Vicky, who's a stand-up comedian from the Southern, like from the Christian Belt.
Oh my God, yes.
And that's who that is.
Was that who that was?
For me, I
saw that at your apartment.
Oh, okay,
yes. I watched
yes.
that at your apartment.
Just for the listeners, because we just jumped into that without any context. This whole time, the Duke and I have been like trying to figure out who and what his I don't care reminds
don't
us
care.
Of. Don't care. And because we both individually were like, who is that? What is that? It's so specific and neither of us could remember. And I think for me, it just clicked that I'm pretty sure it's making me remember John Early.
Oh, wow.
Who, like, he did, like, a really funny bit, or he's done a couple bits with Kate Berlant on Fallon, and, you know, he was in that Characters on Netflix thing, and he's, like, popped up here and there. Mm-hmm. But I think that's who that is.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna have to
It might not be. I could still be wrong. But right now,
it's hitting all the right notes.
I'm getting John Early vibes. But anyway. So, yeah. David, losing it.
I can watch him deliver those lines over and over and over
just
again.
Bouncing around.
Yeah. And he's just like, everything was like, yes, absolutely. No, don't care.
Seems like it. It's great. As he's like pouring himself a glass of wine and like making his way across the kitchen to the table and then finally just like plopping down in the chair. And Stevie's like, just admit that I'm more qualified for the job. Just admit it. And this is what I'm talking about. This moment where he's just sitting there and he's like, fine, you're more qualified than me. Without an ounce of like sarcasm or like a face. It's just straight up, you're more qualified than me, smiling. Yeah.
He delivers it. And then he takes it a step further when he's like, but do you really want to work for this airline? And she's like, well, they really want me to work for them, so I guess I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And he sits there and he goes, okay. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
I also think that's the moment where, like, as I was alluding to earlier, it's like this whole time I think, like, it's kind of all just like a joke. This is just like hijinks for him. And this is the moment where it becomes real. Like, it's like, oh, she's going to do this now. And like,
yeah.
And then what, you know, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah. That's how I took it too. I think he has that like aha moment. Like, oh, she's really going to do this.
Yeah.
Holy shit. When he realizes like this is a losing battle. He's not going to go anywhere. She's with this. She's going to make up her own mind.
Right.
Whether or not she wants to do this. And he's just like, okay.
Yeah. And then immediately is like, now let's see what new opportunities await you. And like pulls out the brochure and she already knows it's going to be terrible.
It's garbage.
So she's like, get out of my house. Oh, which leads to
the best moment of this show.
Get out. Get out.
No.
The fucking best of this episode.
Oh my God. What is that sound?
This has forever changed the way I'm going to drink wine.
All day.
You said that to me. Yeah. And I completely
agree. I'm only going to drink it, make that face, and then make that sound.
That's it. It's over. It's over for you guys out there when you watch me drink wine
just
from now on.
Just wait.
Just you wait and watch me. No, it's... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is why I say this season is like, what the fuck is happening?
I'll be honest, I haven't felt it till this episode.
Really?
This episode is giving me all the feels again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this storyline in particular.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm telling you, classic Stevie and David stuff. Yeah. Like, heart at the end, hilarious ha-has all the way through,
hilarious.
Biting at each other all the way. Like, this is where they live and thrive. Like, these two are, they are each other's best friends.
They are.
This is how best friends are.
Yeah. You know, at the end of last season, what Stevie's concern with the whole, as we discussed, the relationship, the dynamic of the relationship changing and everything. And this just proves that they're not going anywhere.
No.
Their friendship is meant to be.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's set in stone.
Yeah. They're meant to give each other a hard time because that's what they do best.
And even if they don't see each other all the time, you know, if Stevie's going to be off jet setting with Larry Air around the world.
Yeah.
I really need to know what routes Larry Air flies. Like, can you imagine?
I'm sure we'll find out.
Flying Larry Air to, like, Japan?
Like, no.
What?
I'm sure we'll find out if she does start working for them.
True, yeah. Which it seems like she's going to.
I mean,
spoiler alert, we've seen her in the outfit.
What the fuck was that?
That was me trying to convey in an audio medium that I'm covering my mouth and speaking out of the side of it.
That's probably the best fucking thing I've ever seen you. Spoiler alert. What?
It sounded like an in-air, like an in-flight announcement just now.
Oh, hello.
This is your Captain Terry speaking.
Terry?
I don't know. Oh, no. We still have a whole storyline to get through.
You're going to need to do that, like, often now. I'm going to have you open each podcast now.
With that.
Greetings.
Oh my god, that's the best. What the fuck was that?
Oh,
that's,
man. So good. Fuck. The Patreon listeners are gonna love this. Just 5 minutes of us cackling at each other.
I can't think about it anymore. I'm gonna keep laughing.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's talk about,
oh boy,
Moira and Johnny and Roland and Jocelyn and Bob.
Ooh, Bob. Oh, Bob. What about Bob?
Johnny and Roland are at Avid Trust Bank trying to secure a loan for the purchase of the motel that we saw in last episode that they're excited about, or that Johnny's excited about buying. In order to build his Rosebud empire. They've just done their pitch.
Yes.
And they're sort of like talking about how they think that went while the loan officer has gone to, I guess, decide whether they're going to approve or deny the loan.
Right.
So the two of them are sitting there and Johnny's like optimistic.
I think the pitch for the new motel went well. If all goes to plan, we should be able to move forward even without Stevie.
I want you to know, Johnny, I am not going to abandon you like she did.
Stevie didn't abandon us.
I'll jump ship. Look, origami.
Roland this entire time is folding this paper. And I knew what he was trying to
did
do.
Did you? Because to me it just looked like he was fidgeting with a piece of paper.
Well, he was. But I knew what he was trying to do because he's like doing these weird folds.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like he wanted to be a crane, like those paper cranes, right? Mm-hmm. And then he like presents it to Johnny and it just falls apart when the minute he says like origami, it just like falls into a flat piece of paper again.
Yeah.
And he throws it.
Johnny looks at it like, what the fuck are you doing?
But it's the best thing.
It's the beginning of like five or six different things that Roland does in this episode that I am here for. I'm obsessed with Roland in this episode.
Me too.
Actually.
Me too.
I think he kind of wins this whole episode for me.
Mm-hmm. You know why he does? Because it's not often.
Yeah,
that he has moments like
that. That's true. But like, actually, I will say this whole season, anything that Roland has done, I've really liked and appreciated, like for the funny of it all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The whole Betty and Betty puppets last episode, and the whole thing about like. Joking about, you know, if Johnny locked you in the closet, we're going to have to call the police in 601. Like, he's genuinely funny, man. Yeah,
and it's very obvious this is on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
They want our hearts to grow 10 sizes bigger for Roland right
Absolutely.
Now, because he's going to play a very important role in things.
We fucking predicted this shit, dude. Yeah. In the last episode, we were like, I bet his role's going to expand. We fucking called it.
Yeah.
God damn.
So the show is getting a lot smarter, but not smarter than us.
So they don't get the loan.
No.
And it's because they have no assets.
Yeah, there's no more faith-based loans. It's not 1965.
Yeah.
And we can't do that anymore, apparently.
And, I don't want to get too in the weeds with the technicalities of all this, because last time we did that, we got a lot of shit from our listeners. But I just need to understand the economics here. So Johnny is making profits off of the motel because he has shares and stock in it.
Right.
So those are his assets. The assets is his earnings from the motel ownership, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Although he doesn't own the motel because it's still in Stevie's name.
Right. Who is his partner.
Right. So whatever money he's made off of the motel for the bank is not enough to secure the
loan. Would be if Stevie had been there.
Would it?
Yes, because then she would have been part of that.
Okay. So with her ownership
with
and
her
his
backing,
ownership of it together, they would have secured the loan.
Yes.
But because her name's not going to be on the loan, they can't give it to them. Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's all I wanted to confirm. Yeah. So it's kind of a bummer, especially because like Moira was all excited and so sure that they were going to get it. And I mean, so were they. Everybody was so sure they'd get it.
That's the problem that I have with things. Like, why were they so sure they were going to get it? If they knew that this was something, how wouldn't you know? I mean,
well, I think that they figured that their pitch is strong enough, their proposal is strong enough, and maybe that the track record sort of speaks for itself, that it's not necessarily a risky investment to give them
a loan.
Yeah,
but to come in there with no collateral, like you have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the bank needs something, you know? And to come in there just with faith, like, we have this thing, it's great, it's a great idea. Of course it is, and she acknowledges that. Like, this is great, your pitch was great.
Right.
It was you know, this idea, this concept, it's great. However,
but there's nothing to secure.
You need some backing here. Yeah.
So then now these four, I got to tell you, there is something really cute about seeing these four people sit in a booth together, almost having this like secret, like meeting of the minds and like brainstorming and trying to come up with a game plan here, you know? And they all look over and they see Bob sitting at the bar and he's wearing the most leather suit of all time.
The moment I saw this, when they looked, when they did the
Panned
shot of
over,
Bob,
yeah,
I saw this and I immediately did like the squinty eyes. Like
am I seeing that right?
Is he wearing fucking leather? Why
is he wearing all the leather?
Why is he wearing a leather suit?
Oh, man.
And
he's wearing it, man.
But that is also like backed up by Roland talking about how he got plugs.
Yeah.
Hair plugs.
And how, okay, this is also another like, so point two in Roland's column of comedy or whatever is how he's like, I don't want to be the town gossip, but he's making a lot of money and he just got plugs. And then Jocelyn's like, yeah, and Gwen's been wearing really expensive yoga clothes. And it's like, is this the town gossip? Like, this is all anybody can talk about?
Yes.
Is Bob's finances?
Okay. Bob's hair plugs and Gwen's workout clothes.
All right. Cool. Of course, he doesn't know the only actual thing that matters about him, but anyway. Right.
But Johnny also brings up a blast from the past Bob was also interested at one point in the bagels. Mm-hmm. He wanted to, you know, get into the bagel business.
With Ivan.
Oh, Ivan.
Oh, everyone's old favorite baker.
Make the bagels.
I hope we see him again one last
time.
That
would be hilarious.
Oh, that would make my life.
What if he moves in with Bob?
Oh, no. Now we're cooking with gas.
Right?
The Duke coming in strong with the prediction.
He saves the day for Bob.
Oof.
Somebody's got it.
Well,
Bob's not going to go out like that.
If fucking Gwen's going to take that fucking house. God damn it. Okay, pause. We got to get to it.
Gwen!
We got to fucking get to it.
We're being real fucking loud in the listeners' ears right now, and I
fucking love it. This fucking bitch. I feel like I feel like, I mean, right, this is what we've all been waiting for.
It's finally come full circle.
I would also like to go on record once and for all and say that I was absolutely correct in my predictions about Gwen and her whoring ways.
Meanwhile, I thought she was a fucking murderer, remember?
She might still be, but...
She might be.
She's definitely been stepping out on our Bob.
Well, yeah.
And she likes running some kind of shit. And I am simultaneously vindicated and heartbroken for Bob.
I know.
It really sucks.
So, hold on. Let's go. Let's get back to the diner.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, they all think that it might be a good idea. Like, Bob seems like he's doing really well for himself.
Right.
So, maybe he can be... the like give them the loan, like he can, yes, you know, invest in the business and, you know, whatever, back them to get the money for the loan. I mean, for the motel, not for the loan.
Yeah,
like be the loan that they need to buy the motel. And Jocelyn's like, well, we're having dinner with him and Gwen tonight anyway, so hello, let's do it. Yeah. Let's make this happen.
At one point, Bob does approach the table, and the reason I want to talk about this, because I watched, I don't know if you watched it. I know that some
the
of
episode,
our listeners
no,
have.
I don't know. Actually, I haven't seen this one.
The behind the scenes to this
episode. Yes.
And they have Jennifer on there. Mm. You know, they have everybody involved basically in the scene. Well, not everybody, but for the most part, they have Jen there. So they talk about this particular scene.
True.
And when he walks up to the table and how everybody is just like focus. They're fixated on his crotch.
We, the audience.
Oh, yes. Because right there, it laces up. Mm-hmm. These pants lace up.
And it's like bulging, dude.
So how do you look away?
You can't.
You don't.
No.
It's Bob. Bob's got leather pants and a bulge.
It's a leather-shaped train wreck. Like, what are you going to do? It's a leather-clad train wreck.
Loved hearing them talk about this particular scene.
Oh yeah,
because it was the best.
Yeah,
that's fun. Everybody kept losing it because, like,
hello,
there it is.
I also really like how Bob says it takes like a year to get out of these pants. There's something so
two
specific.
Cups of coffee. But what I also love is that they had Bob do the walk run in this leather
absolutely
suit.
Absolutely, Bob.
Oh my God. Highlight of my life.
Yeah. It's almost like, is he wearing the suit or is the suit wearing him? Because
of all
could go either way.
They could have put Bob in.
Yeah.
They put him in a fucking leather suit, which Moira calls the hides of a herd of Holstein.
Which I had to Google as well. I didn't know that the Holstein was a kind of cow. Yes.
I loved that.
Yeah, it's very good. So these guys hatch a plan. Because Jocelyn and Roland have dinner plans with Bob and Gwen that night anyway.
Yeah.
So they're going to essentially hit them up for the money to buy this motel. And, you know, they're at dinner and everyone's all excited. Jocelyn talks about how she feels like a wolf of Wall Street, which is so cute. I love
it
her.
Is.
Moira's like, well, let's go get our lamb then. You know, it's just like these little greatness moments. And then Moira has like zero poker face when it comes to this stuff. And so she's like very loudly like to Johnny, oh, don't forget to call back Bill and Melinda Gates about that investment. You know, like just yeah. like no cool, no chill. And in the course of this conversation, we find out that this bitch Gwen left him.
Yep.
For Pastor Jim. Parson Jim.
Parson.
No, Pastor? Whatever.
Well, it's Pastor, but they call him Parson.
Parson, which I thought is hilarious because of Jim Parsons. But anyway. Also, isn't Parson Jim from the Frosty the Snowman song?
Is it? I don't listen all that careful to Frosty
the Snowman. Parson Brown. That's Parson Brown.
Oh, okay. Also don't know.
You don't know Frosty the Snowman?
I know of him.
With his stovepipe hat.
Well, yes.
Two eyes
I just don't
cool.
know the song word for word.
Well, that was your first mistake. Didn't you do the prerequisite reading
no.
for this episode?
Sorry, no.
Jeez, what are we doing here?
So Gwen left Bob because she likes the bad boys.
And he feels so stupid because he spent all this money on his plugs and his leather suit. And she's now holed up with this motherfucker. And Jocelyn's like, she did talk about a religious experience.
Oh, God.
Which means she's been going around town bragging about the fact that she's been fucking Parson Jim.
Not shocked.
I know, it's true.
Not shocked.
Ugh.
Fucking, so I guess we're not going to see Gwen anymore?
And then, shocking no one also, or more like Vindication Lady J, she posted a bath time video on YouTube, which, once again, I'm telling you, this is her whole underground internet sexy, kinky, fetish bullshit. That's what it's been this whole time. That is what it's been this whole time.
Oh my For God.
Sure. For fucking sure. She was out there in a fucking rubber dress trimming a tree for the internet.
It's just so funny how this has come full circle.
Ugh,
this
I knew Gwen it too. Story. I fucking knew it too. I knew it would.
This is what we've been waiting for.
I wonder if there's more because it feels like Maybe. Way too early. It feels like way too early in the season Maybe. To finally wrap up Gwen. Don't you think?
Well, yes, but. I love that we're getting something of substance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a sense of closure.
Yeah, with our whole what's the deal with Gwen?
And what's the deal? Because, now we know.
Yeah, I don't know. She likes the bad boys, but ends up with a pastor that doesn't speak well to pastors.
Wouldn't be the first time pastors were caught That's in scandal. Sure. But also, yeah, they're gunning for the house, which like the balls on this woman.
So Bob now needs help.
Yeah.
The whole Bill and Melinda story didn't serve them very well because now that Bob has heard this, he's like, wait a minute.
Can they cut me a loan?
Can I get a loan?
Can you imagine if you know Bill and Melinda, which who doesn't in Moira's
sure.
Worth?
Yeah, yeah.
If you call them, they're like, yeah, so I have a friend who's going through a really nasty divorce. Can you give him a loan?
Let me just pull out my fucking checkbook
which,
right
honestly,
now.
Which honestly, he should. Like if I'm Bill Gates and I have a good friend,
and you hear
I should
this story,
do that.
But you hear this particular story yeah. and you're like,
oh. I will write you a check. Why the fuck not?
Yes.
You know what? Call it a grant. You don't have to pay me back.
How much do you need? A million? Right now.
Not even.
Bob?
You think he needs a million to save his house in Schitt's
no.
Creek? Fuck
no. Absolutely not.
Come on now.
I think he needs a million to pay for that fucking suit.
Bill Gates wipes his ass with $1 million.
Does he?
I don't know.
That's cool.
At least like a couple hundred thousand.
Fucking blows his nose. He checks his oil with the Benny. Well, now I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, fuck me.
Like Bill Gates feels like.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's like to feel like Bill Gates.
Yeah. I'll let you know how that works, okay?
Fuck. Oh, my God. The Duke. You're so funny today. okay. So, yeah. So, basically, Gwen's an idiot. Bob is poor and destitute. Aww. Johnny, Moira, and Roland and Jocelyn are no closer to securing this motel than they were 10 minutes ago. And they're at the motel at night. And I actually love seeing Moira with her, like, portfolio in her lap, like, poring over notes as she's like, okay, John, I have another name for you. What about this? What about that? Like,
she mentions Ronnie.
Ronnie's
actually.
Not a bad option.
It's not. She has no kids.
She doesn't spend any money on herself.
Right.
And she probably has, enough of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I there's something about seeing Moira in that mode too, yeah. where she's like, okay, what's next? What, you know, like she's like brainstorming and like trying to be businessy, which is cool, you know?
It is, but it's also, it, you know, she's shifted here where it's been about her and what she's going through and everything that is important to her and her career and all this stuff. And now she is genuinely trying to help Johnny and make this work. And she is really concerned here. She's bummed that they didn't get the loan to begin with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Johnny comes in the room and gives her the news that the motel has sold, mm-hmm. she's like, no. You can see it in her face that she is very upset at this news.
Yeah.
She's, John, hold me.
Hold me, John.
And she says it. She's like, good has to be coming.
That's a very, like, no pretenses, like, yeah. vulnerable line from yeah. Moira.
But what I also love is as soon as she delivers that line, mm-hmm. the knock at the door.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I feel like that is the beginning of something so wonderful moving forward.
Dude, my heart, talk about my heart swelling yeah. three sizes. Like, these, okay, so the door knocks. Johnny opens it to find Roland and Jocelyn standing there with a bottle of champagne. And he, before they even say a word, Johnny's like, you guys, not the right time. Sorry, but no. And Moira's like, well, I mean, champagne, like, you know.
Speak for yourself.
There's never a bad time for champagne.
Right.
So then they come in and they can barely contain their excitement. They're looking yeah. at each other. They're looking at them. They're like, ooh, we did it. Mm-hmm. They fucking mortgaged their house, took a second mortgage out on their house.
Yeah. That's huge. Huge.
Massive.
What I like about that is that they are almost more excited than Johnny and Moira.
I liked the fact that there is not an ounce of apprehension
yeah.
or concern on Johnny's face.
Yep. The opposite.
The minute he hears that, he's like, oh my God, the biggest hug these two have ever shared in their lives. Maybe the first hug they've ever shared in their lives.
Prompted or initiated, rather, by Johnny.
Right. Right.
Which is never happened.
Huge. Yeah. And there is not even a sense of like, oh God, I'm in business with these. No. It's like, oh my God. You guys have done the most amazing thing. This is going to work. I promise yeah. you it's going to work. This is amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And just seeing the two of them like sharing this moment without any, nothing. It's just pure joy.
Yeah.
And happiness from them, from both of them there.
So this is the final thing in this episode that Roland does that you're just like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roland, you've completely
well,
redeemed
goddamn it.
Yourself.
It's a fucking Roland trifecta, and you won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I saw that final scene, I don't know what I was expecting by them showing up at the motel.
I didn't either.
It was a surprise, certainly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, what? Did they
right.
convince somehow somebody? Or I thought that's, what, you know, oh, we spoke to so-and-so, and they're
right.
going to get in this.
Right,
or,
right, right.
But never did I expect that. And what a huge thing to have happen. I mean, Roland has always just kind of been there as, like, yes, an employee or a helping hand, so to yeah. speak, but also kind of a nuisance.
Yeah.
And so irritating and helping, but not really.
Right.
No. But for this to be happening, my gosh.
And it really speaks to... You know, we often talk about the roses, but like, I mean, imagine being Roland and Jocelyn in this moment, right? Like, here they are. They have lived here their whole lives. They know what their life is. They just had a baby a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, and they have so much love and faith in Johnny and Moira, and they have also come far enough to see the vision that Johnny has
right.
as well. And they're like, you know what? We want to spread our fucking wings too. Why not? You know, like they also want more for themselves now, which is such a cool thing.
It is. It is. The impact that this family has had.
Yes.
I mean, we're seeing this. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a lot more than we had anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's really, really amazing about this. Amongst a million other things, but
the minute it happened too, like I don't know where, like what part of my brain this is coming from, but every time I see that final scene, my instinct is to react with, oh, my babies. Yeah. Like my babies have grown up, which is bizarre considering that they're the adults of the show. But like in a weird way, it feels like they're like, this is such a grown up moment for all four of them, you know? It just feels so right and good and like just important and cool. Yeah. What more words can I find? I don't know. I love it. I love it so much. And I will say it's for me, unfortunately, undercut by the appearance of Ted in the corner. Like I didn't need
the turtle.
I didn't need that turtle bit.
That didn't bother me. I thought it was kind of a cute little like
it is,
you know, button moment where it's like boop boop boop. There it is.
Right. And I get that. And of course, Maura shrieking, Alexa.
Alexa. You know?
But I kind of, part of me wishes like we could just end it on this beautiful hug between Johnny and Roland.
But I also feel like it wouldn't be the show that we know and love. It's a comedy. Didn't throw something in there. So.
And also, because if I didn't see that turtle, I'd be thinking about it for the next five episodes.
I wonder if she's going to keep it.
Probably not.
I hope not.
You know what?
I don't
what?
Need to see it again.
Yeah. We'll probably just like see the tank in the corner of the room, like, and will never be addressed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, Ted's there. It's fine.
God. Ted. Escaped again. He's going to take over the town of Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God. Seeing that trail of lettuce that she's laid out for
Ted dinner.
From the bathroom. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, really?
But yeah, this episode, man.
Yeah.
It's a winner for sure.
It is.
Any stray observations?
Yes. I actually want to plan a dinner party with you.
So I can make rude gestures like Ted did that one time?
Yes, please.
Yeah, no problem.
However, here's the deal. If we plan a dinner party, I want to be able to pick the music. And I have the perfect music for us to pick. So that fucking music was playing in the background during the Schitts and the Roses dinner party with Bob. Uh-huh. And have you ever seen those Geico commercials?
Yeah.
Or like when this type of music is playing? Yeah. What is happening?
I never
Who decided that. To put this on?
Roland, and like obviously this
is, like all I can see is them doing this kind of a thing in the background, you know what I mean? Like
bang, 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 bang.
It's almost like the lady from Ipanema, like
yeah it's steel drums, it feels like a steel drum vibe.
So
yes,
I don't know, that's the deal. We're gonna do a dinner party, right, but that music has to be playing in the background.
We'll have a dinner party just so that music can play in the background.
That's just perfect.
We'll be a silent dinner party with just this music playing in the background.
I'm okay with that.
Cool. Deal. All right, let's get into our next segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop.
Much like last episode, I was very, very torn about what I was going to pick. And quite frankly, I think I still am. I don't know that I'm 100% sure of my choice. But man, every time somebody came on the screen, I'm like, well, this one too.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to do now?
I know.
You know, I don't know. I literally have it written down, like almost everybody's outfit. And then I just put an asterisk by the one I'm like, fuck it, I'll just pick this one. I guess at the end of the day, the one that I kept leaning towards and the one that I couldn't stop thinking about was David's outfit, dressed in Patrick's clothes. He just looked hot. Yeah. He looks great.
Yeah.
It fits him so perfectly. I might even say a little bit better than they fit Patrick, but, you know, you didn't hear from me. So.
Well, I mean, David has a slimmer physique than Patrick.
He's got a bod.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a bod.
I mean, I've said this before. David needs to wear more tight clothes, yes. More fitting clothes, because he needs to show off all of that.
Very attractive.
I know.
You know, very attractive. So it's going to David in Patrick's clothes.
Yeah. I had similar problems narrowing this down. I thought about giving it to David in the youth pastor outfit because, like, duh.
Right.
And then I also thought about giving it to Alexis in the dress she's wearing at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
She looks like a vision.
Yes.
Like Barbie-esque almost, but in a good way. But ultimately, I need to give it to one very specific item of clothing that is worn in this episode, which is Moira's backwards belt on the leopard dress in the beginning. I didn't realize it until she walked out of the room, and I believe in the editing bay, they left that scene with that lingering shot of her back so that we, the audience, can understand that this genius has worn her belt backwards, and it is fashion. And that is the truth of life.
Yeah.
So my who or what best is Moira's belt.
Nice.
In the first scene she's in.
I almost gave it to Bob, too.
Oof.
That was tough. That was really hard for me not to give it to Bob.
Yeah. Again, lots of amazing, important fashion moms in this.
Again, just proof that they are coming hard with everything now. The comedy, the wardrobe, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So.
It feels like they basically turned this show up to 11.
Yeah.
And they're just like, like, here you go. Enjoy all of it.
It's
overload.
True.
So before we get into our ratings, the thing that we've been doing the last few episodes, which we love, is hearing from you guys what you thought about the episode.
Hmm. One that we actually, I want to start off with is, her name is Melissa.
Oh, yes.
And she,
oh, God, this is amazing.
She messaged us, and this is her message.
Oh, Melissa.
I was listening to this week's episode while my 8-year-old daughter was at gymnastics. Unbeknownst to me, my AirPods were disconnected to my phone. So there I am, la-di-da, listening to you talking about David wetting the bed and the guy's voicemail about how many times David says, fuck, blasting the podcast from my phone, AirPods in but not working, at kid gymnastics with toddlers and parents all around. Sigh, I felt like David after he wet the bed.
Melissa. First of all, thank you for listening and passing the time while your daughter's in gymnastics.
Yes. So sorry.
We're so sorry that your AirPods failed you. But that is simultaneously mortifying and hilarious.
Yes.
I'm really glad you shared that with us.
We also had Megan.
Yes.
Reaching us about your issue with Cafe Tropical.
Oh.
Lady J is not alone in thinking Cafe Tropical was spelled with an E. I wasn't to the point where I thought it looked wrong as tropical, but in my head it had an E.
Thank you. Thanks, Megan. What up?
Thank you, Megan, for proving that now both you and Lady J are incorrect.
Well, listen, if anyone else wants to admit that they too were incorrect and come out of the woodwork, and, you know, we could really support, like, create like a support group for each other and like a community, and you know what we could call ourselves?
Oh God, what?
The Tropicalis.
Moving on. So we have one for this week's episode. So many one-line jokes. One of my favorites was when David asked if Ted was clothed, and when Alexis said yes, he said, never mind.
Yeah, it's good.
It was great.
Yeah.
Bob's leather suit needs to win awards. I agree.
Deb Hansen needs to win an award for that leather suit.
Yes. I missed Patrick, but I loved David dressed like Patrick.
Oh, yeah. Patrick wasn't in this.
Nope, he wasn't.
But I do feel like we got a dose of him because of David dressed as him.
Right.
So with that, let's get into ratings. I'm giving this episode 5 out of 5 furry Fendies.
Nice.
There's genuinely nothing wrong with this episode.
No.
From beginning to end, the cold open is hilarious. The button is great. Everything about it is wonderful. Every single storyline for me is an A storyline. It delivers. So 5 out of 5
furry Fendies.
I am also going to give this episode a 5 out of 5 complimentary peanuts, Carol.
Yes.
It's just perfect. I didn't find anything wrong with this. I laughed pretty much the entire time, but I also cried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed even Ted and Alexis's storyline.
Yeah.
And where that's going and seeing her trying her hardest. And that's a lot. So 5 out of 5.
This episode really brought it.
It like, did.
I feel like now we're back. This is the show. Yeah. This is the groove. I know I said that for the last episode too, but I really feel it this time. Like,
yeah,
this is the groove for the show. All right. I think that's going to do it for us.
I think so.
Man, oh man. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Upshits Creek Pod on Facebook and Instagram or at Upshits Creek on Twitter. You can also send us an email at upshitscreekpod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, where for $5 a month, you can get access to an extended episode that is ad-free, one day early. And until next time,
we love you, shitheads. Kielvage.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.